The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander. Kelly Middleton.
Hello.
Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Hello, Sloan Stevens. Look at that set. Lefko, your boy Lefko, hosting things at the French Open.
Hey, he's looking sharp.
At Roland Garros.
No turtleneck.
No turtleneck. Coco on set. Sam Querrey. John Isner not on set, replaced by Chris Eubanks. And there's Mary Jo Fernandez. I had such a crush on Mary Jo when I was a little kid.
It's a great group up there.
Yeah. Anyway, doing their thing outside of Chatrier.
Sam Querrey, definitely saw multiple times at the Delray Beach Open, too.
Serve Bot tried his hand at pickleball as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Jack Sock has tried his hand at pickleball. I think Jack Sock beat, like, the best pickleball player in the world already. That's all you need to know about pickleball. By the way, here is your May most wins update for those who are still in this. We are not, those of us who bet the Mariners. Mariners did win last night, but they're 6 wins behind the leaders. And guess what? There's only 6 days left of the month, so it's not happening for us.
Look at Kyle Schwarber in 4th place all by himself.
Rays and Guardians both lost yesterday. So again, Rays are 16-5. There's a break for Copriva on the 5th set. Let's go. Rays are 16-5 in the month of May. The Guardians are 16-8. And you're like, wait, they played 3 fewer games? Yeah, because the Rays had 2 postponements, one at the Red Sox, one at the Yankees. So again, for dead heat purposes at William Hill Caesars, where the ties are broken by dead heat, not broken, but administered by dead heat rules, that's a great break for the Guardians that the Rays had 2 postponements. If you're at Circa, that might not be the worst thing in the world for the Rays, because who knows, maybe you'd have lost those games. And so the first tiebreaker there is fewest losses, right? So right now, when it comes to a tiebreaker, the Rays win all tiebreakers going away. But right now they're at 16-5. The Guardians are 16-8. Each team has 5 games left in the month of May. Brewers, 15-6, a win back. The Phillies, 15-8. Those teams are definitely not out of this. They are live. And so too are the 14-8 Braves, who actually have 6 games remaining to play, one more than the rest of the field here that is pictured. And the Dodgers, the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. Ladies love Cool James. Said it back in the 80s. He meant it about this Dodgers team in May of 2026. 14-9. Look at the Dodgers just creep on that board. So, that's, for those who are involved, Dodgers, good luck.
Never out of it.
Never out of it. They're always the rightful favorite. And this just shows you, exactly. It's like, yeah, right, here we are. You know how great you've been playing Rays and Guardians? Here we are. We'll see. Again, still, they have the best run differential in the month. Plus 42. By the way, worst...
And Shohei can't hit.
Worst team in the month of May? Any idea, Kelly Bidlin?
Ooh. No, I have no idea. So let me take some guesses.
You should get this within 3. 3 guesses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's fairly obvious. If you've been paying any attention to the Major League Baseball game, that is baseball.
I'm going to go with the Royals.
Close, but no. Close in terms of...
Division?
Division, not in terms of performance.
Yeah. Who am I missing?
Tigers. Detroit Tigers.
It's like, it's got to be someone in that crappy division. Couldn't remember who was at the bottom.
Detroit Tigers 5-17 in the month of May. Followed closely, if you will, in quotes, by the Colorado Rockies, 6-17. One more win than the Tigers. And then the Angels and Reds, both 8-14.
Well, the problem is, I would normally give my regular Tigers advice here, managerial advice.
Just bitch Scooble every
but
day.
But it's not possible anymore, so that's going to be an issue, you know?
That's not good. Good advice.
You're probably just toast.
All right, so here's another thing that we tried. We did this, we didn't do anything, but we talked about this. Danny Higgins graded, he's taken a page from the Kelly Bidlin book of scouring. And he found MLB raced at 20 home runs.
He's doing a great job.
With you know, players really close to 20 at that time. We mentioned Kyle Schwarber at the time, but we didn't say bet him necessarily. He ended up winning it because he had a flourish of home runs to get him to 21st. How about an MLB race to 30 home runs? Can we interest you in that? Is that something that might interest you? to quote the great Martin Landau. Kyle Schwarber right now, so this is, we're doing this race to 30 a lot earlier than we did the race to 20 in terms of where these players are positioned. So Kyle Schwarber right now leads the major leagues in home runs at 21. The most noteworthy thing about this list, quite frankly, is that these players, with the exception of Schwarber, have kind of stopped hitting home runs. Have you noticed this? Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the work of one Aaron Judge?
We talked about the 20 home run market, and besides Schwarber, none of these guys have moved seemingly.
Aaron Judge has hit one home run in his last 13 games.
He sucks. Trade him.
He's terrible. Get rid of him.
Byron Buxton's on this list. Wow.
Byron. I knew Byron Buxton would finally come through.
You know why I just brought him up like that, too? Because it was I feel like he was the last baseball prospect that I was like, oh, this guy.
He's going to be so good.
Yeah, he's going to be amazing.
Munetaka Murakami hit a home run yesterday. That was his first home run. So that's his only home run in his last 8 games. These guys have just stopped hitting. He's got 18, by the way. He's in second place. He's 3 homers behind Schwarber.
Isn't this just a low home run count?
Well, this is the time of year where then you start speculating. Are they doing anything with the base? I mean, because it's supposed to be getting warmer, but the East Coast has not been that warm yet, I guess. So the balls aren't flying out at this point, but it is a market sort of stoppage of home run production. Schwarber's the only guy, right? Schwarber in that flourish to get him to 20. Remember, this was, I don't know, about a week ago or so. He had a stretch of games starting May 7th, so it's a little more than a week. So we're talking about 19 days ago. Where in consecutive games, he had homer, 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 2 homers, homer, 0, homer, 2 homers. So he had a stretch. So he hit a homer last night. That's his first in the last 6 games, which for him represents a drought. But all these guys, nobody's moving up this list. So the question becomes, is there a bet? The nice thing about doing the race to 20 is we were close enough where we could sort of wrap our arms around the number of games left, who these guys were, going to be facing pitchers-wise and team-wise. You can't really do that this far gone from 30 home runs. This could take forever to get to 30 for all we know.
It could. I mean, I love Schwarber. I love Schwarber so much, but this is also where Schwarber can get really hot, really cold, right? Aaron Judge plus 220?
Yeah, but he's 4 back. I don't know. This is one of those where we put up a lot. We trigger a lot of bets, like with Mizorowski yesterday. I'm not sure I would have a bet here. This would just be one of these markets that I think I would just pass on. Is there one of these guys as a long shot? Jordan Alvarez.
Right, but only getting 11 to 1, right?
11 5 to 1, back. But he's 5 back. He'd be a guy I can see him exploding, right?
No, you're probably right. You're right, though. That's probably a better bet than Judge. You had 11-1 versus plus 221 home run back of him.
And again, for what it's worth, and it's not worth much, but just what these guys have done recently, Alvarez hit a home run last night. That was his first in his last 7 games. Mm. These guys have just stopped hitting him. So, by the way, Buxton, where did he come from, by the way? Buxton. Did he have a little bit of a home run surge here?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
He had a 2 home run game on May 13th, and then he hit a homer the other day too, May 22nd. So yeah, he's hit, as far as these guys go, his 5 home runs in his last 10 games it represents an outburst compared to these other guys. So that's why he's on the list now. And then Will's guy, Ben Rice, is kind of just staggered a little bit, right? Stagnated in terms of home run production anyway. Caminero's too far back. So I don't know. There's no bet for me. If you made me make a bet, I'd probably take Alvarez at 11 to 1.
Yeah.
Just on past.
I'm with you.
Explosion, memory, muscle memory. But that's it for that. That's an interesting bet that Mark Borchardt have, in case you missed it earlier. He likes the Cleveland Guardians minus 195 to win the AL Central. More of a commentary on how bad every other team he has in that division is. And for those who missed it, we recommended a Mizorowski bet, NL Cy Young yesterday, plus 450. It's now plus 375 after his unbelievable performance yesterday. 12 Ks, 1 walk, 1 earned run, and 2 hits, I believe it was, in 7 innings.
Yeah.
With Jacob Mizorowski with a strikeout rate of 40.3%. There's that. By the way, for those who are wondering,
Guardians, that is, I mean, the Guardians is interesting here.
It is just because who's
right.
I mean, where's the other team? Like I said, the Guardians could win this. The Guardians have a swoon in them. Believe me, they do. They could win this division at 500. I think both the AL Central and the AL West are historically bad. And I am actively rooting for one of those divisions to have a winner that is sub 500. I want to see it.
This is like flipped upside down right now from what we thought preseason. By the way, I was looking earlier when we started going over the home run numbers. Danny, I don't know if you have this anywhere, but I pulled up some of the MLB fewest regular season wins that we hit like beginning of the season. Because you remember the Rockies were minus 400 preseason.
Worst record. Yeah.
Yeah, Tigers are way long on that because they're not even on what we send in for graphics.
Well, I mean, right now.
I know, massive changes for them, but.
Right now, worst records in baseball. Remember, not everybody's played the same amount of games. But the Colorado Rockies, 20-35. The Los Angeles Angels, 20-34. The Tigers, 21-33.
Angels, 17-1.
And the Red Sox, 22-30.
Oof.
What could you get the Red Sox at?
We stopped at 150-1. Yeah. Red Sox and Tigers were not on what we typed up.
Joe Pita made that call before the season. He was bearish on the Red Sox. Everybody else seemed to be over on them. By the way, in terms of June wins, Danny Higgins actively scouring to see if they're up yet anywhere. We expect William Hill Caesars to be the first. Nobody has posted them yet. Nobody yet. It's going to be dicey here before the end of the week because then it's a weekend and we're not on the air. Coming back on A Numbers Game, Spurs Thunder props next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Clock is ticking on to the best VSiN Pro offers of the year. It's your final week to get a full year of VSiN Pro. Normally, $240 for just $199. And when you sign up now, we'll give you two extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. You'll get daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. This offer expires after May 31st, so don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You okay over there? Mm-hmm. Everything okay? Just making sure.
I was doing math.
Oh.
It hurts, you know. There was steam coming out in my ears.
You could
buy hundreds of pro subscriptions instead of going to the Game 3 Knicks courtside seats.
Is that what you were doing?
Yep.
Is that what you were doing? All right. Thunder Spurs series points leader. Right now, let me give you the update on the actual stats. Right now, by the way, the odds. Victor Wembanyama -310. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander +230. Nobody else listed? Is these the only two people that are even listed in this?
Yeah. The only two people listed.
Right now, it is 121-99. So the collective scoring of these two players through four games, Victor leads 121-99. Remember, there are either two or three more games that we're dealing with here left in this series. Two or three more games, we don't know how many. But Victor has a 22-point lead headed into those two or three games, -310 versus Shea's +230. Nobody else listed. By the way, this on the strength of games 1 and 4, where Victor outpointed him 41-24 and 33-19.
Yeah.
Could you play Shea at +230, or is the 22-point deficit too much?
I actually think you could. It's interesting to me. I think Wemby's probably a little overpriced here. Because here's the thing. I think you got multiple outs with Shea. I mean, yeah, you need this. You probably want this to go 7. But Shea is the higher end, more consistent score, right? Like we see Wemby with these monster games, and then we see him have like, you know, 17, 19. And with all these injuries that the Thunder have, it is hard for me to imagine that Shea, even with these high assist games we've seen him have, hard for me to imagine that if the Thunder are winning this series, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander isn't having some very high-level scoring games here down the stretch. So I guess if you're interested in the Thunder, this is actually something I would probably look at a little
bit. Be an interesting way to play it.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a bet on that at all.
And nobody else, right? These are the only two. It's only between these two guys. Nobody's going to come up from nowhere.
They're still scared of the list of Dylan Harper. You know?
It's like he doesn't even exist.
At least this time it's fair. He's got an injury.
Here's one that's a little more interesting. This is the three-point leaders. So these are 3 points made. Three-pointers made. Or as we like to say here, the series threes leader. Right now, Alex Caruso has the most three-pointers made through 4 games in this series. Remember, 2 or 3 games left.
Mm-hmm.
Caruso has 17 made threes through 4 games. Devin Vassell, the favorite to end up as the series threes leader in this market, has 14 made threes, 3 fewer than Caruso.
That's interesting.
So Vassell is at minus 230 at 14. Caruso, with 2 or 3 games left, 3 threes ahead, if you will, 3 threes made ahead, is at plus 175. Wembanyama has 9 made. Champagne, also pictured, has 6 made. They're at 30-1 and 100-1, respectively.
God, Champagne has not been great. I was just racing to see what his number was at 6. Yeah, I think that's too far to ask him to come back, because Vassell and Caruso are going to get shots up. Man, I thought you were going to tell me Wemby was a little closer, too. I didn't have those numbers in front of me. I would have guessed he was at like 11.
Could you take Wemby? Let's start with him. 30-1, 8 made threes back of Caruso.
I want to say yes. But man, eight back is a lot. I thought you'd be getting a longer number with that.
8 back is one thing, but it's 8 back with Vassell in between.
Right, that too.
Okay, so let's just take Vassell versus.
I do think it's an interesting though. Like, hey, shop around. Maybe, you know, other books have this stuff listed. If you saw Wemby at like 50-1, and you kind of like, this is where I'll kind of go opposite of what we just talked about with points, right? If you're a believer in the Thunder, probably means Spurs are down in games, and Wemby's going to be a little bit more. Likely to launch from downtown. So I think if you think series plays out that way, you can find a better number than this. I don't hate the Wembanyama bet.
Caruso has gone 8-5-4-0.
Yeah,
for those scoring at home. Vassell 3-6-3-2. I'm a little surprised Vassell is that big of a favorite.
Me too. I mean, look, he's going to get more volume than Caruso, so I get it. I don't think the plus 175 is bettable, but I'm with you that the favorite just feels heavy at both of these.
It does. But would you take Caruso confidently at plus 175? I don't know that I would either.
He's
also one of these guys, like, as you think about the first 4 games in your mind, do you remember ever seeing him miss? Because I don't. I'm like, every time he launches one, it seems like...
Well, he did last game, though,
yeah,
right?
He did last game.
Yeah. Now, but look, he's going to be much more likely to hit 4 in a game than 0 in a game. He is still going to get shots up. The problem is Vassell just has that regular volume from downtown. Yep. I think it's tough when those, you know, we talked about this before the series, right? And you were like, hey, there's probably 5 of these role players, and it's probably going to come from one of these. It's just hard to isolate who it is. All right, cool. I think we're down to 2. I think it's tough, though, to pick between those two. I'm with you, though, overall. I think minus 230 feels a little too heavy.
So this is
one of those. I'll bring it up, though. Go check out. Like, I don't know if Kalshi's got this up, but you got a yes, no. And if there's a yes, no market out there and you got Vassell at minus 230, I'd be interested in a no price. That's for sure.
No price on
Vassell.
Yeah. If it's up. We don't know that it's up,
no,
right?
Yeah, it's up, yeah.
Any other market here that interests you with the?
Those are the only two that were listed.
Yeah.
I think, Danny, what was it? Rebounds we figured out was taken off after game one? Yeah, after game one.
That was the end of that.
Webby's already a huge favorite. Went out there and had that massive game one.
We get tweets to beat the book. Three Jacques. Oh, no, I already read that one. Jesse Well, no, read that one too. Brian M., late to the show, have you covered the appointment viewing for tomorrow of Evelise versus Sorana Kirstea? That one doesn't really register for me, if you know what I'm saying. Three Jacques, H3131. Waiting for Kenny Atkinson to state, quote, analytically, I won the NBA coach of the year. Yeah. Steve at Brosec 1870. The Golden Knights were gift-wrapped, a great team with the expansion rules. They had a first line, and their second, third, and fourth were all second-line talent, plus a Hall of Fame goalie to start. Marc-Andre Fleury's contribution should not go understated. Absolutely right. That was maybe the biggest stroke of all in that first season. Let's see here. Oh, he says, sorry, I was running behind. Someone else made my point, I see. This is from Minky Monkey Man, who says, Gil, I also had a big crush on Mary Jo during my youth, but it pales in comparison to my obsession with the glorious now 55-year-old Gabby Sabatini. Great show as always. Oh, Gabriella Sabatini. Still gorgeous. That's right.
This game continues.
Any play for you tonight's game then?
I went Spurs.
You went Spurs.
I went Spurs 5.5 this morning.
I think I will have a Spurs bet too. I've not made it yet. I mean, for me, it's the Spurs 19-1 to win it all, but I might have the Spurs plus the points tonight too.
I don't even know what to tell you, because usually now that we're on the other side of five, this is where I'd usually say, I would wait on this game, see if it swings back the other way. Yeah. Spurs just keep getting bet this morning. This is now four most places.
Well, again, I'll say it again. This is what I thought the line would be in game two. This to me seems like what it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, everybody, with a zigzag pushing that up, and it worked out for them, right? They won by 9, I believe it was, in game two.
Yeah, something like that.
But it still made no sense to me from just the actual talent of these teams on the court. But at that time, remember, we had a Jalen Williams that was playing.
Yeah.
And a Dylan Harper that was playing.
Correct. Yep.
It was a totally different series at that point.
Yeah, it really was.
And a AJ Mitchell that was playing.
I think this is going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. I think Drew and I are pretty similar. I have OKC Western Conference tickets. It'd be nice to get home, but I can't imagine that I'm betting them in a game going forward. It's probably going to be Spurs or pass. Thought it was going to be passing on this game, but that 5.5, and then it started to get steam this morning. I'd grabbed a small piece of that. The over 5.5 games hit, though, thank God, because that was by far my biggest bet of the playoffs.
There you go.
And will be.
What would you make the line? We asked Drew what he made the lines. And by the way, lines, hypothetical lines, Spurs minus 280. Excuse me. Thunder minus 280 over the Knicks, Spurs mm-hmm. minus 270. Drew said minus 400 for the Thunder, as we thought he would.
Yeah.
Right? Minus 350 with the Spurs. What sounds more correct to you?
I think I'm in between. I'd probably be a Thunder about minus 350, Spurs probably like minus 325. I don't think there's that big a difference between Thunder and Spurs.
No,
I don't know if I can go more than that.
Again, as a guy who has Spurs ticket at 19-1, I do agree, just rehashing what I said earlier, I do agree that the Thunder ought to be a slightly bigger favorite than the Spurs, just because of if they're fully healthy. If, the big if.
Right.
I think if we knew they were, they would be the gap that Drew was talking about. Because it's just too many bodies to play against the Knicks.
It applies for the Spurs, too, if I knew I was getting 40 minutes of Dylan Harper.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But he's playing 19, because he's banged up.
Did Moutet just break back? Yes, he did. Oh, boy. Dogfight till the end. Coming back on a numbers game right here at Visa.
A numbers game on Visa, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, not to be outdone. The creator of the killer sports, or the brainchild was his, for the Visa Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge that we're all enjoying. You can follow the standings at contest.killersports.com. Formerly the NBA guru over there at Dr. Bob, runs things at Killer Sports, great database. The best NBA handicapper that I know, and maybe the best handicapper of any sport day-to-day that I have followed through the years. It's Carl Sack joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him. Really, he's really not a Twitter guy, but killersports.com, killercappers.com is where you can find all his stuff. Carl, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good morning and good afternoon. It's mountain time, so I guess he's thinking mountain.
He's catering to the East Coast audience, the Knicks audience. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. East Coast people are eating lunch right now.
Real quick, shout out to you again for the Killer Sports Challenge. Here are the standings. Kyle Akins and Steve Fezzik can still get me. Can still get me. This ain't over. It ain't over. Party's not over. Just enough time for me to blow it. So there we go. On the screen there, we show that. Really appreciate you doing this. We had a great time last year doing it. Fezzik was the champ. We had a great time doing it this year. So thank you for making the playoffs that much more enjoyable with all this. Do you enjoy, from your perspective as a guy who like came up with it, watching how different people play this?
It's been really fun to watch. Yeah. To see how different people play it. and just to compete in general. You know, it makes the playoffs all that more fun. It's my favorite time of year, NBA playoffs, really. And it just really makes it even cooler.
Well, Kelly asked a great question off air getting to the playoffs, which is the Knicks with this unbelievable run in the Eastern Conference. We put it in numbers earlier. It's the best in terms of just winning margin. It is the best aggregate winning margin over 10 games, over 11 games in the history of the National Basketball Association regular season or playoffs. With you as a guy who has your numbers, has your ratings, how dramatically do you adjust on a team like the Knicks after a run like this?
Yeah, from a power rating perspective, I've moved them, I would say, about 3 points. As we talked about, I had the Knicks rated high coming into the playoffs already, just because some of their intangibles, their coach, their experience, their, you know, their starting five, I think were pretty strong. They were a team that struggled with their depth during the course of the season, but that kind of changes in the playoffs when you're not playing on back-to-back, stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, I would think even going back to the start, because they've played, what, 14 games now in the playoffs?
Yeah,
14. I would think even going back to the start of the playoffs that their net plus minus is got to be historic.
Would you have seen this coming from this Knicks team, even though you were higher on them than others? I mean, it's pretty much the same team. They're running it back, right? You know, so I guess this is Kat's second year with the Knicks, if I'm not mistaken. Second year?
Third
year. So they're running it back. Would you have expected this Knicks iteration to be the one that got to the finals?
I think the coaching helps. I think their extra age and experience helps, you know, because they were in the conference finals last year. And normally we saw it with Oklahoma City a couple of years ago. Like, you need to get to the conference finals and kind of get through that experience, get it out of your system. They lost it last year. So, I mean, coming into the playoffs, I probably would have bet on Boston to get to the finals out of the East, but New York's right behind them, and they've done a lot better. So,
all right, so we have the hypothetical lines for the series: Thunder, Knicks, Spurs, Knicks, per DraftKings. Thunder -280, Spurs -270. We just asked Drew Dinsick, who's in the Killer Sports Challenge. We just asked him; he had Thunder -400 versus the Knicks, Spurs -350. Where would you put these? Somewhere in that ballpark?
I think, you know, I'm kind of surprised that the Spurs are higher, are on the hypothetical series lines, that the Spurs are actually higher than the Thunder.
Well, they're 10 cents lower than the Thunder, -270 versus -280.
That's what I mean. Like, they're bigger favorites. Oh, I see. Slightly smaller favorites. My bad.
But almost identical to your point. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's worth noting the injury situation. Like, are we getting Jalen Williams? Like, I'm surprised Jalen Williams hasn't been, from everything I've read, I'm surprised he hasn't been already ruled out for tonight's game. But then AJ Mitchell, they've ruled out in advance of both of these games, like, well in advance. And so are we going to get him? I'm thinking we are, because it's a good week, 8 days out. But AJ Mitchell, he's an under the radar player that he's worth something. He's tangibly worth something. And Jalen Williams is obviously his plus minus has been interesting, but like, he's still at extra depth. And I guess at the end of the day, I'd like to know what the injury situation is for sure in order to make either of these lines, but I would actually lean towards the Knicks on these hypothetical series lines.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think they should be favorites. I've seen some media come out and say, oh, the Knicks should be. No, they should not be favorites. But
you just don't feel it should be this long is what you're saying. +220 or +210.
Yeah.
So the injuries also tonight, not knowing about J-Dub, not knowing about AJ Mitchell, that sort of prohibits a play at this point for you.
Well, Mitchell's out. I'm pretty sure he was ruled out yesterday.
Yeah, he's out.
Williams, I'm surprised, is listed as questionable, and I'm assuming he's out. Given where this line has moved down to, I'm very tempted to play Oklahoma City at, now that it's down to -4 in a lot of places. From a situational perspective, it's Oklahoma City spot. And some of it feeds into that zigzag stuff, but going back the last couple of years, Oklahoma City has not lost 2 in a row in the playoffs. And they've covered, I want to say they're 9-0 off of a loss in the playoffs, and maybe 7-2 against the spread. This is definitely a situation for them where they can make adjustments, see, okay, now we've got a game without Mitchell. We can kind of adjust to that a little bit better. They're going to be at home, obviously. That's going to help, especially with that younger team. Definitely be Oklahoma City or pass for me at the current number.
Interesting. Okay, so let's drill down just a little bit on what you said. We've talked about this in some form at different times, but we talk about it specifically with Dr. Bob a lot. For those who aren't familiar with the Dr. Bob segments, who Carl and I learned on the lap of, Bob would say neither of us learned anything from him. I always push back on that. I say, we learned a whole bunch from you. But we always say with him, he's got the math model and he's got the technical analysis. What he calls technical analysis is basically what we colloquially call trends, which is just something you were just referring to when you were talking about this game. And it's always a mixture for him. Like oftentimes a trend will take him off what his math model points him to because he has respect for the sample size of a certain trend. And it could be anything from coming off a loss, coming off as a favorite, whatever the parameters are, but it's not data mining with him, right? They're meaningful long-term trends. For you, when you look at a game like this, you analyze games your way as well, but then you do have access to these trends, what Bob calls technical analysis. Is there a sweeping statement you can make about how much you weigh one against the other, or is it a bit of art in that science where sometimes one rules over the other and sometimes the other rules over the other, vice versa?
I've got it honed down to a science, I would say, and it definitely is a combination of the two. From a math perspective, like looking at the fundamentals, I think this spread should be lower. I don't think that Oklahoma City, with, if you're assuming Williams is out, if you're assuming Mitchell is out, if you give, it varies by stadium, it varies whatever, but I would say in general, I would make home court in the playoffs about 3.5 points. So are we saying Oklahoma City is better on a neutral court down Williams and Mitchell? I don't know about that. Obviously, experience here is huge. San Antonio's never been, none of these players on San Antonio have ever been to this stage, nor has the coach. So that's tangible. But I situationally, everything definitely points to OKC bouncing back here. And I got to lean OKC in this game, and we'll see.
Interesting. Carl hinting at perhaps what a release might be from Killer Sports today. Maybe he'll go first half. Maybe he'll go full game. Maybe he won't do either. I don't know. I like that Carl's cagey about releasing while this contest is going on, though.
It's funny you talked about first half, because I know Oklahoma City has talked about how they've gotten off to a poor start in both the last two games in San Antonio.
That's
and
right.
So I got to think that they're going to come out in this game. And, first half might be the way to go, too.
Kyle Akins and Steve Fezzik waiting with bated breath to see which way Carl goes. By the way, Kyle, he's Killer Sports, right?
Yeah.
Right. We might have to get him on here.
Yeah.
Might have to get Kyle Akins on here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it very much.
Of course, anytime. Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
You too. Carl Sack, everybody. A man who moves lines when he releases plays. Legit global market. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Got a restaurant recommendation for you, Kelly Bidley.
Oh, yeah, we never had that conversation.
Last night, my buddy Dan Taborga and friends went to Maroon. Not to be confused with Maroon 5. Maroon.
This is Maroon 1.
It's Maroon period, maroon, at the Sahara, of all places.
I have not been over there in so long.
Me too. It's exactly what I said when I walked in there. I'm like, God, when was the last time I was
in looking
there?
In there?
Just like you remember.
Yeah. It looks nice on the outside.
It's actually a little nicer than you remember it.
Okay.
I remember like the big one, it was SLS, the big opening was like, mm-hmm. This is the opening, right? Anyway, then the restaurant is a Caribbean chef, a renowned Caribbean chef.
Yeah, I've driven by, inspired. I've seen a sign for it.
It was excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like a high protein kind of meal with pork and filet, and that's how we ordered anyway. It was great. Absolutely great. Maroon at Sahara. As far as the bets today, so a
Caribbean steakhouse, yeah.
A long way to go to have a winning day in tennis, but a winning day is a winning day. Jog it up. Had five plays for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. We had two matches that were withdrawals. We could do all the five plays on one screen, guys. Uchijima, Moyuka Uchijima was a withdrawal versus Claire Liu. We were headed to probably lose that. We were down a break in the third deciding set, plus 122. She took her toys and went home. And then we were probably on our way to winning the Roman Andres Bruchaga match. He was plus 105 versus Sebastian Baez. We were up 2-1 and up a break in the fourth. So we were way ahead, really, in that match. And then Sebastian Baez took his toys and went home. So those split and kind of, you know, hey, probably would have lost one, probably would have won one. So it came down to the last three. We won both of the straights on dogs. Vit Kopriva, plus 149, winner versus Corentin Moutet. He came through in five sets for us. And Mayar Sharif Ahmed Abdelaziz won plus 115 versus Dalma Galfi. She won in straight sets. The one we lost in our 2-1 day was Taylor Townsend, plus 5.5 games versus Coco Gauff. She couldn't get there. She couldn't cover the spread line. So instead of the 3-0, we get the 2-1. But that's good enough for a 1.64 unit day. We'll take it. Move on to the next day.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah.
Why not? Nothing for me yet in tonight's game. In the Spurs Thunder game, I might end up with the Spurs in the points, though. Either way, I got the Spurs to win the NBA Finals, 19-1. Let's go San Antone. Iga to win the French, Yannick to win the French, Cerundolo to win Q2 at plus 650. You, sir.
I have Spurs tonight. Took 5.5 here this morning, minus 114. And then a couple series cashes. Knicks game one in series, cash. Spurs Thunder over 5.5 games, cash. Take those off. Darren Peterson, first overall pick, plus 350. Cameron Boozer, third overall pick, minus 125. Did see Rafael Barlow's newsletter this morning, though, where he had Cameron Boozer going second overall to the Jazz. And Peterson dropping to third.
Wow.
Yeah, might have to get him on again. We've had him on once or twice
before. Because right now, if you ask me the 1, 2, 3, 4, it's DeBanza to the Wiz.
Mm-hmm.
It is Peterson to the Jazz. Boozer third to the Grizz. Grizz Fisher third, I believe.
No. Yeah.
Grizz are third, yeah. And the Bulls are fourth, which would be Wilson. 1, 2, 3, 4, I think that's how it goes. But you're saying something different. We'll see. And apparently, I don't know, like the Jazz love DeBanza and DeBanza loves the Jazz, but like what would they have to give up? Like there's no way. The Wizards draft DeBanza. Just stop it. Draft them already.
I don't think so. No, I mean like, hey, if you're the Wizards, keep calling Utah, right? Are you kidding me? I would love that job. Whoever's job it is in the Wizards front office to pick up the phone and call the Jazz every day and be like, hey, what are you guys thinking? You want to add on to that at all anyway?
By the way, I'm so glad this just popped up in my head. So, you know, before the show, we wake up. It's 5 a.m. where our brains are foggy, right? But, you know, your phone's always feeding you stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a Bay Area sports talk radio clip came up on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some dude on sports talk radio in the Bay Area. I have no idea who he is. And he was talking about how he has scoured all of the NBA teams for the player that the Warriors must get. The Warriors will absolutely be able to get, he said. They must get him. They'll be able to get him. And this will turn the franchise around, right?
Okay.
So I'm listening to this. I'm like, well, who's he going to come up with? Yeah, he can't be too old. He's like, it can't be like the Jokic's of the world because that's unrealistic and they're also too old. I don't want that kind of guy, right? But he said, I've scoured every the other guy, his co-host, is waiting with bated breath. You know what he finally says? What? He goes, and this was like, he thought he was like, just, this was amazing. He goes, Denny Avdija. Denny Avdija of the Portland Trailblazers. One, he can't even pronounce his name correctly. Two, what in the world makes you think the Blazers would ever give him up for your award? Stop it already. Is this what sports radio has come down
to? Denny just missed the All-NBA teams.
Oh, I think we know that that's about. You have a tennis parlay? I'm kidding, by the way. Tennis parlay from you today?
I do have a tennis parlay. Do you think? Zverev, money line. I think these are all tomorrow now. Yeah. Zverev, money line. Kostyuk, money line. Potapova, money line.
I think you'll win it, sir. You have my endorsement. By the way, why am I not doing more of these brain dead money line parlays?
I don't know.
I keep forgetting to do it.
Don't you love when this is like the Masters all over again, right? It's like the people that pop in for the week and start betting it. And you're like, oh, yeah, like I forgot I used to do this in Grand Slams.
You know what? I don't resent people like that. I'm glad that you have enough interest to bet tennis.
Tennis is awesome. It's awesome, but it's an awesome sport to bet. It's just I rarely get to watch it.
Jake Hahn is on the Golden Knights to close out the Avalanche tonight here at T-Mobile. Golden Knights trying to sweep the Avalanche, which would cash 25-1 tickets for anybody who had the onions to bet that.
It's crazy.
The sweep. By the way, Golden Knights in 5 was about 12-1. But Golden Knights in a sweep, 25-1. They could do it tonight here at T-Mobile. We didn't get to this. Jake Hahn also does have a prop bet. He's on Gabriel Landeskog over 2.5 shots on goal tonight for the Avalanche.
Chris Foster hadn't parlayed the Golden Knights at all. Like that's
did Chris Foster win that big parlay the other day? Did he win it? That's a hit. That's a hit. We really should have Foster Cam. What's the audio version of Foster audio on the show? Mark Borchardt, baseball. Man. Cubs today versus the Pirates. Cubs slight dog +118 at the Buccos. He's on the Guardians Nationals under 7.5. Nationals playing sneaky good baseball, by the way. And then the Borchardt base winner parlay of the day, which warms Steve Fezzik's heart. And by warming Steve Fezzik's heart, I mean the opposite. Yankees Brewers +140 for Borchardt today, base winner. Yankees Brewers parlay +140 is what that pays. Who else did we have on the show today?
I just want that as an audio drop now. I wish everybody could have heard Chris the way we did. That's it.
That's a hit. Drew.
Gil couldn't even finish.
Drew's on the Spurs tonight, and he got it at +5.5.
Yeah, we both scooped 5.5 this morning when that started to move.
Look at you, scoopers. Look at you guys. Well done.
I mean, maybe. This is how easily influenced I am by the market. We sat here yesterday, and I was like, man, I don't think I'm going to have a bet on this game. And they were like, oh, God, they're rushing. It's jumping past 5. I better grab this 1.5 I see. God forbid I miss out on some CLV.
You know who you remind me of every time you do the, no. You ever see the, it's a TikTok or Instagram, whatever it is. This guy, the guy who goes viral. He's essentially a teacher teaching to himself. He's also the student. But he says things like, if the NBA is called the finals, what's the playoff, what's the Stanley Cup championship called? And him as the student goes, oh, the Stanley Cup finals. He goes, no.
Stanley, oh, so no,
he sounds just like you when you see that.
Yeah, so, did you see, I have no idea whether this is real or not, but I saw it on Twitter about 1,000 times and people said it to me on Instagram too. Some women's basketball game yesterday where the teams each scored on their own basket.
Oh, I saw that video.
Yeah. I don't like to be this guy.
I was half paying attention.
We're more clever than most since we work in the business, right?
Let's not assume.
When people are like, I can't tell what's AI or not anymore.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
That
was
one
of those videos though that was fair where I'm like, I don't know if this is real or not. I have no idea. And I saw country tricode. So I was like, these are national teams that are doing this?
I don't know. Like you said, I don't even know what's real and what's not anymore. I see stuff like that.
It was a wild video, though. We've all seen the video of someone scoring on their own basket. And then it's like, okay, it happens and everybody gets their stuff together, right?
Yeah.
But this was like, score, and then the other girl takes it down the other way right away.
And they finally had to whistle it
dead. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like someone tackle that person.
Carl Sack was on moments ago, but he is unwilling to pull the trigger, if you will, on a bet yet, not knowing about J-Dub's availability. But he says, down to 4 now, he kind of likes the Thunder. So we'll see if he releases that for Killer Sports today, either first half bet or -4, depending on the availability of J-Dub. We had tweets. David Montgomery, I jumped on some of the live tennis matches this morning as you gave opinions on them and got some nice winners. Thank you, sir. Nicely done, David Montgomery. Montreal Max sings Spurs minus 166 money line for game one versus the Knicks. I can't see a series line being much higher than minus 200 if that's the case, unless they win the next two games, maybe. It's a good point.
Mm.
And Eric Biggio. Hey, guys. Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars. Saw the June wins bat signal from yesterday. We'll hopefully have him out tomorrow, Thursday latest.
Nice.
Thank you, Eric Biggio. We appreciate that. We asked and we shall receive. Look at Wozniacki. He's so fit.
I was going to tell you after the show. She's got to fit in that small booth, apparently.
Had her a sandwich or something. Prop points next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.